Are you glad to be here this morning? This morning I want to speak to you about, I think I'll do offering later. I want to speak to you about three dangerous prayers that we can do. Let me say it like that. Protocol, a step in. I know we've preached this before, actually very long ago, but I want to expound on it a little bit more. Dimensions of prayer. A people that pray is a people that God makes great. Let me say it like this. John Knox, the Queen of Scotland, said that when John Knox would put his feet on the shores of Scotland, the Queen of Scotland said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Britain. I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Britain." Where is the people that can say, "I live a life like John Knox. That doesn't matter where I walk in, I know my royalty." That even royalty will be shaken when you come in. These are believers. The thing is, as believers, we have this mopey type face. I'm so bad. I'm so self-pity and this and all that. And please borrow me money. Yeah, please, you borrow me pity. Listen, shut up. Begin to see yourself the way God sees you. Meaning that there's royalty in your blood. Not only royalty, there's divine royalty in your blood. When you have that revelation, I believe Martin preached on the genetics of God. When you understand that you have royal, divine DNA flowing through you. In fact, let me go to a scripture. Quickly give me the scripture where it says that we are like nature or something like that. In Peter, say with the divine DNA. Listen to this. Okay. Is it this one? Yes. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. Let's go to 2 Peter 1 verse 2. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. Quickly, guys, in the scripture. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Next verse. So that His divine power has given to us. Say with me, given. All things. Say with me, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you think a house pertains to your life? Okay, do you think a car is important for you to have in your life? If you say no, you won't receive it. Okay, do you think money is important for you to have in your life? That through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Next verse. By which we have been given to exceedingly and great precious promises. Not just a promise, exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these, what? Through these promises that we have been given, that we may be partakers, say with me, partakers of the divine nature. Meaning, it's the word partakers means you partake, you become a partner of. If you're in a business, there's 50% partnership. You have the other 50%. You're now a partaker of the spoils, partaker of the profit, partaker of the business. He's saying, listen, I came with a divine nature to this earth. That even though they didn't kill me, I laid my life down myself. And I raised myself up back again after 3 days. I went down, defeated Satan, and raised myself back up again after 3 days. This divine nature, you are partakers of. You are in partnership in it. And through that, you having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Are you guys with me? This is what I call the key to royalty. If you have sickness in your body, if you have business problems, you say, but no, your word says, I am a partaker of your divine nature, God. Will you allow your partner that carries part of you to battle through this problem? How will you walk if you are a son of a royal king or queen? How will you talk? Are you guys with me? Will you walk like this? Being cool in the shops. Or if you have a son of a king or a queen, you would walk. But in Christians, we don't walk like that. Say with your royalty. I want to share with you. Listen, tonight we're going to get into deliverance and it is going to be powerful. Yesterday morning there was a lot of power and a lot of deliverances took place. And this is a thing that God said to me we must do the beginning of the year. And then how to take the whole congregation through it. And it is going to be powerful. So, Numbers, go for it to Numbers chapter number 12. Oh, 12, sorry, let me just see what verse. Numbers chapter number 12, verse number 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. So Moses married a black woman, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Next verse. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? ? I want you to see something here. The problem was that he married out of the tribe and out of the culture. And in those days, it was a sin. So, he went and married an Ethiopian woman. That was their problem. But then they began to change the problem from that to now beginning to touch God. Where they said, so they were discussing over, you see, it works like this. It works like this. We start off with small problems. I hear these people speaking and they'll say, Leon, must Leon have a ponytail? Here in your church, okay? Must the music always be so long? We did like two praise, two worship. If that's too long, you don't want to go to heaven. Okay? It's now what they are discussing is a domestic issue. It's not a bad thing. Okay? But it leads to something bad. So, must Leon dress like that or talk like that anything. Must the church sound be so loud? So they had a problem with the Ethiopian lady that he married. Then it began to escalate. That discussion means the meaning they talked that amongst themselves the whole time. Now they began to be negative. Offense began to come in. Are you guys with me? And the real root began to come out. Now they begin to change it to like, I really don't think Leon is actually anointed. I mean, if you look at this other minister here, look at what this guy can do. Leon doesn't do that. Leon doesn't love us. He doesn't talk to us. He doesn't hug us, But what happens is now what they've done is, they had a problem with me and they turn it and they're beginning to make it now. They're beginning to touch the God part. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? So they were talking about themselves and all of a sudden the thing got negative and they began to question Moses' validity as a prophet. Okay? So the question come up, has the Lord only speak through Moses? ? It sounds innocent, but there's evil in that sentence. And has he not also spoke through us also? Has he not spoken through us also? Everybody say with me. And the Lord heard it. Full stop. One of the shortest sentences in the Bible. And the Lord heard it. Very scary sentence. like they would say about Elijah. Elijah is a prophet. He even knows the words that you're saying in your bedroom. They said it to the king. Are you guys with me? Now it was not a prophet hearing. This was God hearing, saying, as the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Next verse, let's see what happens. Now the man Moses was very humble. It's great because he wrote the book. So he's vindicating himself there, and he's writing. The man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Okay? Suddenly the Lord, I think he just added it in there because he knew he was in trouble. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. Imagine God standing in a door. It means that you now see God as a person standing. Because a cloud can't stand. You guys with me? So you see the person. They call it the similitude of God. So it's like you see the form, the similitude of God. And called Aaron and Miriam, but not Moses. Listen to this. Moses sinned by marrying a lady outside of whatever his culture or tribe or so it is. He was wrong in that. God didn't even look at it, address it, or think of it. And Moses still stayed a prophet. And they both went forward, Aaron and Miriam. Next verse. Next verse. Thank you. Takes long, guys. I don't think it takes long to say next. Go back one verse. Did I not read the... I didn't read it. Go back one more verse. And Miriam and they both went forward. Okay, yeah. So go on forward. Sorry. So it was quick to push next. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him. Say with me, known to him. In a vision, I speak to him in a dream. Which means that God is saying, listen here, if there are prophets, the way I communicate with them is a little bit different than normal believers. If you study this in, I think it's the NLT, you don't have to go there or something like that, it'll speak of, I speak to them, it would say that if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known differently to them. In a vision, I speak to them differently in a dream. Meaning, everybody hears God to a different level. Are you guys with me? If you've heard me preach, you've heard me pray, and the encounters that I had with God comes by the way that I pray. If somebody says, I want to take on that style of praying, and I want to sit under Leon, I want to catch your spirit, and I want to pray the same way, they'll encounter God the way I'm encountering him because of the way I pray. I speak to him in a dream. Next verse. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. So face to face. Panim to panim, which actually means mouth to mouth. Okay? Even plainly. Even clearly and plainly. Not in dark sayings. Not in riddles. And with many other prophets, God speaks in riddles. He says to Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an almond tree. It's a riddle. Or it's a dark saying. Are you guys with me? Then it had to be interpreted. Then God said to him, okay, now it means this, 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 this. What do you see now? And I see a pot of boiling water being turned over. And God says, okay, you've seen well. It means this, 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 this. He says, listen, I speak like that to Jeremiah. But when it comes to Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth, face to face. Not in dark sayings, but plainly and openly. And he sees the form. So through the form, he sees how I'm built. God. Moses said, God said, Moses sees how I am built. How tall I am. How short I am. If you are made in the image of God, God looks like you. Are you guys with me? And Moses was able and allowed to see the form of God. I don't know if you guys know that. It's like God knocking on your door and you look and you just see this being standing full of light in front of you. And it's not the Holy Ghost. It's not Jesus. It's not angels. It's God Himself. Moses was a great prophet. And as I preached 2 weeks ago, yet he was on the mountain of Pisgah. And God said to him, you will see your destiny, but you will not enter into it. And many people are bound by a spirit of almost. They can see their destinies, but they are eliminated from entering into it. A man who spoke to God face to face, a man who was not spoken in dark sayings, but plainly, who saw the form of the Lord, saw the very similitude, the form, the shape of God. And God says, why then, he speaks to Miriam and Aaron, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? We have to shut our mouths when it comes to the anointed. Are you guys with me? I don't care what they've done to you, where they've wronged you, and what they have done wrong. I just keep silent when it comes to the anointed. Numbers, we were Numbers 12. We are not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And from there, they were struck with leprosy. Those two. Are you guys with me? So say with me. No, don't say with me. Let me just say this to you. Let's not raise our mouths against the anointed. Doesn't matter what they've done. Come for deliverance even tonight. If you've been hurt by a church, if you've been hurt by a church leader, if you've been hurt by anybody, come, that there be no curse on you. Anointed man is, you know, even though we curse them, they are still anointed. I mean, even though they curse us, they are still anointed. That is the bottom of the, that is just the truth. But it says, to prophets, I speak differently in a vision or in a dream. Meaning that when it comes to me, the way God speaks to me is in dreams, number one. Dreams. Visions, not really. Dreams. And then number two, I get visions if I prophesy over people. But for me personally, God speaks to me in a dream. Now, I want to try to get through to you tonight three dangerous dimensions of prayer. That if you apply this prayer, or if you apply the way I'm praying, you can have the same results. So it says, listen here, Romans, let's go to Romans 8 verse 26. I want to just quickly show you three dimensions of prayer. It'll be 10 minutes and then I'll take up an offering. Listen, three dimensions of prayer. Likewise, the first dimension of prayer, and it's very easy to remember. The first dimension, I think we've preached this a very long ago. But the first dimension of prayer is what we call groaning. Say with me, groanings. Romans 8 verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Say with the groanings which cannot be uttered. There's a realm of prayer where you get into, I call it the first dimension. Now, many people go to their bed and say, Father, thank you for today and bless us and bless my family and our food and thank you for this and the roof over my head. And some people just say a little riddle and then it's gone. And relationship. So if you go beyond the paper of points or traditional little prayer, you get to a place where the Bible says the Spirit now is praying on its behalf, on your behalf, helping us in our weaknesses where we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit begins to pray for us. And the only way our body can respond is by groanings. It's like, the only way where I can explain this first dimension is like you pray, you're praying in the Spirit. You're praying on the Spirit, but now the Holy Ghost begins to come stronger on you. Now it's like it even goes silent and the atmosphere is thick in a room, whether you've worshipped or whether you've prayed. Now there's a sound that is coming out of you where the Bible says groanings that cannot be uttered. You cannot vocalize it. The only thing is it's like groanings. Are you guys with me? That is a dimension of prayer. That when you get to that dimension, I'm going to show you how it touches God. Listen. That we groan, groanings of the Spirit. Listen. Go with me to Acts 7 verse 34. Acts 7 verse 34. Listen to this. Are you with me? I have surely, God is saying, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their... That was pathetic. I have heard their... And have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. He's saying, listen here. The first dimension of groaning, when you go past your prayer list, and you're in a place of groaning in the Spirit. It's that Holy Ghost in you and moving in you. It was about 1 or 2 o'clock this morning. And the Holy Ghost was in me moving. I had to stop what I was doing because it was too much. It felt like my flesh was falling off my bones when I was in the anointing. And I was praying and I couldn't pray anymore. And I was like, went to a place of like, just groanings, and you it cannot be uttered. The Bible says that when we get to this dimension of groaning, that now God will hear us and He will come down to your situation and bring deliverance to you. If you want God to come down and deliver you, get into the realm of groaning in the Spirit. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, then just stay a few longer. A bit longer in ECC, okay? You'll get informed, transformed. So, Acts 7 verse 34. Say with me, groanings. It says, when we groan, God comes down and He delivers us. Listen. The devil wants to remove you from groanings prayer and will do everything. When you start praying and you go into groanings, the devil will put any suggestion, any thought in to make you move away. Eat a sandwich, just so that you can lose focus. Groaning is you've locked everything out and you keep focus. I have built a prayer room and I do that by example. And I've seen many of the people that are following me are doing the same. So in my house, I have a place where I pray. Right now it's the garage, but it looks like a prayer room. And it's a place where I pray. And it's a place where I meet God, where I can be alone with Him. It's called the secret place. All of us should have a place like that, where your focus is just on one thing. Your focus is on one thing, encountering God. Are you guys with me? The second dimension. Let's get into second dimension. Almost finished. Say with me, laboring prayer. Labor. Say with me, labor. Laboring prayer. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 12. Lavruskavan. So listen. The first dimension is groanings. Are you guys with me? Are you with me? The second dimension is laboring. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hold on. Are you guys with me? Laboring. He says, listen here, Epaphras. Paul is speaking here. He says, Epaphras. I'm going to tell you about Epaphras. He is a bondservant of Christ. And he is always laboring. Don't let anybody tell you prayer is not labor. Prayer is hard work. Then that person has never prayed in their life. Yet he was always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand, everybody say with me, perfect, and say with me, complete, in the will of God. Say with me, the will of God. If you want to know the will of God for your life, begin to move into the second dimension, which we call laboring prayer. this prayer now. The word labor also means to wrestle. Are you guys with me? It means to wrestle. It means to contend, fight, and win a competition. I don't know, like wrestling. Is WWF still on? Huh? WWE. Okay. Who's the best wrestler? Like John Cena. So you have John Cena's in the spirit that can labor. They can pray through the night, contending through the night. Are you guys with me? Listen. It means to wrestle. This is a prayer where you're on your knees. Now you're beginning to take the promises of God that has not come to pass. God says, you will have a house. You will have this, or you will have a business. You will have a ministry, and you're sitting and you have nothing. But God has said this to you. Now you're on your knees, and you've gone past groaning. Now you're in a place of laboring. You're fighting. You're wrestling. And it's not 1 hour, not 2 hours, not 3 hours. You're laboring. You're fighting. You say, God, you said this. Here it is in your word. Your word is exalted above your name, which means that if I give you this in the word, you kind of like have to submit to your own word. I give this to you. I'm laboring in prayer. I'm fighting the promises of God. Then you begin to fight. Then you begin to wrestle. Go with me to Ephesians 6 verse 12. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we do not, say with you, wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and the spiritual wickedness of the heavenly places. This is our wrestle. We do not wrestle. In fact, it's turned around and says the wrestle to us in the Greek. Meaning that when you move into laboring prayer, now you wrestle. Are you guys with me? That is when you sweat. That is when you're not lying under the anointing soaking. No. You're laboring here. There's a time of groaning. Then the second dimension is laboring. Are you guys with me? You're laboring to bring something to pass. You're laboring to see, to bring the mansion that you see in your spirit, the business that you see in the spirit, in your dream, in your mind's eye. Are there people here that dreams? Open your eye. Like the Apostle Paul said, open the eyes of my understanding by giving me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that when I open my eyes, whether they closed or open, I can see what God has for me. Poverty will be delivered tonight. Listen, I can see you sitting here. I can see you sitting here. All Leon is talking about is mansions. No. If you don't want a mansion, I'll speak. I'll stay a two-bedroom flat from now on, okay? So stop your attitude. Get royalty in you, man. Your circumstances responds. All I'm saying is have royalty on you. That your circumstances begin to listen. When a king's son, doesn't a prince or a king walks, let me say a king. The Bible says he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Walks through a market, walks. You will see people bowing down before him. You will see them making a way clean. Keeping. What is happening? His circumstances are changing as he is walking. Have that mindset. Know it. Even if it's not manifesting. But you know. Wait. There are angels that is around me. That is accompanying me when I walk. There are spiritual hosts in heavenly places that is around me when I walk. I am royalty when I walk. And you think and know that all the time. You become that. Are you with me? You are a king. We have been made kings and priests unto our God. So laboring prayer. Labor for that thing that's in the spirit that you don't have to come into the natural. Are you guys with me? Go with me to Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis 32 verse 24. A man listen to me, Jacob, a man Jacob was left alone, and a man with a capital M, who was God, wrestled, say with you, wrestled with him until the breaking of day. I wish we can have prayer meetings again, where we pray from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. We'll have it in one every 3 months, the whole night through. Because I'm going to do it one every month, we're going to end up with like two people. And those are the two that I'm paying. So we'll do it once every 3 months. And we will call it wrestling night or something. I don't know. Where you will wrestle until the breaking of the day. When last we complained about our problems, when last have you wrestled through the night with God? He didn't wrestle with the devil. Are you guys with me? He wrestled with God. When last have you been through the night, pull out scripture after scripture, say, God, you said this. If you are God, King David says, you have never seen your, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor eat, nor begging for bread. Why don't I have bread? Why am I forsaken? Why don't I have a job? Either you are God or you are not. And you open the Bible in another place. What are you doing? You are wrestling with God. Isaiah says, God says, come to me and plead your case. Let's reason together and see what will come out of this. Meaning, God wants to negotiate. When the lady came to Jesus and said that she wants deliverance for her daughter, Jesus' disciples pushed her away. Then she came again, and Jesus said to her, the food, the children's bread that we have, which is for the house of Israel, is not for the dogs, meaning that you are a dog. It's for the house of Israel. And we're giving it to them, meaning deliverance is not for you, it's for the house of Israel. That's it, for the Jews, because Jesus did not come for the Gentiles at that time. He came for the Jews. Peter opened up the way to the Gentiles. Are you guys with me? So this woman was a Gentile, yet she manipulated the system. She said, but God, this woman was intelligent. She could think. She was a survivor. She said, but God, even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the table. Think of this. God said to her, no, you are a dog. This bread is not for you. It's for the children of Israel. And she manipulated the system to touch God's heart. She bypassed a law, caused God to get off his throne, changed the time zone and dispensations that he has placed in from the beginning of the age, saying that this is a dispensation of law. Gentiles don't get saved here. He got up, changed his whole timing. Jesus, and this woman said to Jesus, doesn't, and so she's thinking, but wait. He said, the dogs don't eat, the bread is not for the dogs. She thinks, no, but wait, there's still crumbs of that bread falling off. And the dogs can eat that. Maybe if I tell him that, he can't deny that because that's the truth. She manipulated it. She was wise. She negotiated. She said, even the crumbs that fall off, the little dogs eat. And Jesus says, great is your faith. God comes up off his throne, changes time completely, bring deliverance to a woman who was a Gentile daughter to whom there was no deliverance available. And then God moved back into his time because somebody found a way to manipulate, to say, God, if I have to wrestle with you through the night, but I'm going to find a way that you bless me. I'm going to find a way that I will be rich. I will be prosperous. My children's children will be blessed. And if you don't think like that, you are a cursed man, Bible says. If you don't think like that, you are a cursed man. The Bible says, him who does, whose children's children is not being blessed through inheritance is a cursed man. Okay? So, where were we? Oh, laboring prayer. So with you resting. So Jacob wrestled through the night until breaking of day. Next verse. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him. Now when, capital H. Are you guys with me? God, when he saw, when God saw that God did not prevail against Jacob, that means that Jacob had something in him, a wrestling spirit in him, that he was not, that God would say, I am not winning with this man. It is time that we wrestle through the night, pull out so many scriptures that God would begin to back off and say, I'm losing this case. This fight, I am losing as God. I don't know if you guys are getting this or not. I'm giving you secrets out of the scripture where God is losing a fight with man. Are you guys with me? God says, I'm going to lose with this man if we carry on wrestling like this. God, who made a speck of dust, says a speck of dust is winning me in a wrestling match. And then people cry when people don't greet them at the door, coming to me. You know, I've been hurt. We're doing deliverance on them tonight. I've been hurt. That usher never smiled at me. I'm going through testings. I'm going through trials. I'm so hurt. My laundry wasn't done today. I didn't buy my Versace today. I'm hurt. Don't come to me with that nonsense. This man was fighting through the night. In the east, people are burned to death on hot pots, in hot pots. When you have millions and you're building churches and advancing the kingdom, and you then come and tell me the devil is coming against you. When you preach and you go into nations and you preach the whole nation, then come and tell me that you're feeling an attack and you're being tested. This man prevailed the whole night. Eventually, that God touched his socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. It was dislocated. Are you guys with me? How many of you know there's a lot of pain when something is dislocated? The man's hip was dislocated, not a shoulder, his hip, and he still wrestled with him. Many times you are wrestling and financial crisis hits you. It's just a dislocation that is taking place. Or a health thing is hitting you. Or family thing is hitting you. Maybe business is just taking a dip. It's just a dislocation. All you need to do is carry on wrestling until you break through. Until your name is changed from Jacob to Israel. Listen, next verse. I'm going over time. Next verse, I want to close now. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob held God down, won in the middle of a wrestling match, and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. It is a pit bull faith, a pit bull tenacity. Once it bites, it doesn't leave. It's what I call until faith. I will not let go. I am not going to stop praying through the night tonight. Until my breakthrough comes, I am not going to stop giving until I am blessed. Listen, God's word is either true or not. People say, I tithe, nothing is happening. Listen, either you believe in his word or not. I will not do it I will carry on doing it until my breakthrough comes. God is looking for that spirit. Are you guys with me? Let me close off. And then I'll take up the offering at the same time. But let me close off. The third dimension. Say with me, travailing prayer. So you have groaning prayer. You have laboring prayer, wrestling. And then you have travailing prayer. Travail is when a woman is in travail. Are you guys with me? It means to give birth. Are you with me? This is a prayer that makes you give birth into something. This is where you give birth to something that you have seen in the spirit coming into the natural now. But it's a third dimension. In groaning, you begin to soar. In laboring, you begin to soar. And now you're fighting in it during the laboring thing for this business, this money, this house, this ministry, whatever it might be. It's breakthrough. you're fighting, you're laboring, in the travailing part is now the avenue where this thing in the spirit that you've seen for so long is being birthed naturally. Travailing is when the baby comes through the womb and the muscles of a woman is stretched open. That is the process what we call travailing. Are you guys with me? Listen, Hannah in the Bible travailed. She didn't have a son yet, but she saw her son in the spirit, went to the temple where Eli was and said, God, if you give me a son, I will sacrifice and give him to your service. I will give my son fully to your service. She was already making a vow to God. She wasn't even pregnant yet. She didn't have the child in the physical yet. But then after that, because of what she has seen in the spirit and she has travailed, it has now come into the natural. And it was birthed like that. Are you guys with me? Women in the Bible knew how to travail. So go with me. Let me close with this. Go to Isaiah 66, verse 6 to 8. Or go for it to verse 8. 66, verse 8. Listen to this. Who has heard such a thing? Prefer in the King James Version. I'll close with this. Yeah. Who has heard such a thing? Listen to this. Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? What he's saying is these are things that takes time. Are you guys with me? It does not happen in one day. Shall a business be built up in one day? No. In fact, here he was prophesying about the church. He says, for as soon as Zion travailed, Zion speaks of the church. Are you guys with me? Speaking of church growth, speaking of church buildings, churches being planted. He says, shall a nation be built in one day? No, don't get in a hurry. But for as soon as Zion travailed, she went through the laboring process, the groaning, the laboring, the travailing process. She brought forth her children. Which means that there's a travailing process. Every person that prays, if you pray, have these three things in your mind. A woman that is in labor, that is pregnant, goes through these three things. They go through groanings, they go through laboring, and they go through travail. Are you guys with me? And then a woman usually has a midwife in the hospital. Are you with me or not? Am I lying or not? That helps her give birth to the baby. You are the woman in the spirit that are groaning, laboring, travailing until this promise comes to pass. From the spirit, what you see into the natural. The only thing that I'm doing, I'm the midwife that preaches you full of faith and say, listen, you are at this process or you are at this process. Or get the baby out here. Keep breathing like this. Push here. Breathe here. Don't give up yet here. Or maybe we should do some surgery to get the baby. But listen, either or all, the baby is coming out. Get to the travailing stage of prayer until what you see in the spirit becomes manifest. Are you with me? Say groaning. Say laboring. Say travailing. That is the process of giving birth of what you see but you don't have yet. So the question is, what do you see? Are you guys with me? That works in giving. It works in prayer. It works in fasting.